continued interest in your prayers. We come before you tonight. I've been thinking a lot about God's promised protection. A lot of things happening in the world today that keep reminding me of this. And that's where our comfort is when anything in this world threatens or seems unsettling or, I guess threatening covers a lot of ground. But anytime we hear or face something like that, the sooner we can remember the Lord, the sooner we can remember His promises, His power, His love, all the things that He has in His Word that He's told us. Amen. The sooner we can remember that, the better off we are. It may not change our circumstances, but it sure can change our heart. And it reminds us of His love, and we can be reminded that perfect love casteth out fear. And so the more we're holding on to the Lord, trusting His promises and trusting His faithfulness. You know, His faithfulness is sure. Ours, we're working on it, aren't we? We're a work in process. I remember going to Lawrence County Nursing Home one time in Mount Vernon, I believe it is, Missouri. As a matter of fact, it's where Karen Ann Quinlan, remember that name being in the news for so long, the lady that was kept on life support, that's the nursing home she was in. Well, I got there and introduced myself and got to know some of them. The lady I was going to be working with most of all, she had this little statue on her desk. And it was a young man, and he had his carpenter's belt on and all his tools in the things, and it said, "Christian under construction." I thought, that's kind of neat. I like that. Christian under, and it doesn't have to be a young person to be a Christian under construction. It's a whole lifetime process. But bless your hearts, the more we can trust, just hold on tenaciously to the Lord in uncertain times, and aren't we there? You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul told Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Well, I don't know what part of the last days we're in, but I know we're there. Hebrews begins by the writer saying, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." So I know we're in the last days. I don't know how long it's going to last. Doesn't matter, but we're there. Perilous times have come upon us. I've never seen a time in my lifetime, and I don't think in your lifetime as well, has there been a time when there's more attacks on the Word of God, more attacks on Christian culture, more attacks on the foundations of family and other things. I've never seen so many attacks that are just continuing to try to make those things crumble. There's so many advantages that the government's given to people now not to be married. Even people, when they get into financial situations, are being advised, well, if you just get a divorce, then you can get more money. See how dangerous that is? My goodness. So thankful, though, that the foundation of God standeth sure. That those things which God has put in place through His purpose and through what was accomplished through His Son, they can never be changed. Oh, I just rejoice in that. I rejoice in eternal security. I rejoice in the power of God. I rejoice in the love of God. I rejoice in the mercy of God, the grace of God, all the things that He has promised in His Word. So, I've been thinking about God's promised protection. And I want to begin in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. I want to read just several verses. I'll try to give a little bit of context as we notice them, but I want to read some verses kind of to lay a foundation, just to kind of stir your mind as to what God has said. Now, this is Old Testament, so it's Old Testament Israel. But listen, it's to God's people back then. And what He says back then, whether there may, while there may be a difference in the dispensation that was being given, the principles and the promises of God loving His people and taking care of His people is the same tonight. So, in Isaiah 54, as God is reminding them of His power and His sovereignty, the chapter ends with verse 17 by saying, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." I'm so glad it's of the Lord. I'm so glad it's in Jesus Christ. I'm so glad. I ought to stay faithful, but sometimes people stumble. Sometimes people make mistakes. I'm so thankful that we are blessed for Jesus' sake. We have no righteousness of our own. We have only the imputed righteousness of Christ. And that's constant. That'll never change. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, I'll begin in verse 10. God has so much to say in this chapter regarding His help of Israel. Isaiah 41, 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught." I could keep reading, but again, God promises His help, especially against those who are enemies. Okay, go back to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. We'll comment a little bit more as we go along. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Verse 22, Exodus 23, verse 22. "But if thou shalt indeed obey His voice," God has been telling them, He would send an angel before them, If thou will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now that's help. When God promises, he'll be an adversary against your adversaries, and he'll be an enemy to your enemies. Wow, that's help. All right? So I wanted to just grab a few verses. There's many verses we could go to where God has promised. God promised his help to Abraham. God has promised his help to many. Many places that we could go to in the scriptures to show where God over and over has established the fact that he loves his people, he's watching over his people, he's caring for his people, he'll be there for us when we need him. Okay? Now, let's come to the New Testament. It's not that things have changed, but Jesus did give us more along the lines of clarification. Not that it's any different from the Old Testament. You know, Isaiah chapter 1, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse to rebel, it's going to be very different, isn't it? Okay? All right? So Jesus says, now, so when you read those verses that I've read out of Isaiah and out of Exodus, we can't say that we're not going to have trouble in this world. That's just not the case. You know, in the years past, I haven't heard it lately, but in years past, I remember hearing discussion about folks thought that when they joined the church and began to follow the Lord and pray regularly and read the word, that their troubles was over. Well, ultimately, not because of what they did, but because of now that they understand that we have that eternal security in the Lord. But right now, in this life, Jesus said, remember, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. I understand someone has written a word picture for that tribulation like the waves of the sea that keep coming to shore. Just one after another. Sometimes I've felt like that, especially here lately. One thing after another just happening. I know you've had situations in life, periods in your life, where you just felt like there was just one wave right after another. In the world you shall have tribulation. Jesus plainly told us that is truth. So what can you expect? Tribulation. Just exactly the way Jesus said it would. But also, he's promised to be with us. John chapter 14, he had said, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, in that chapter, he had told them he was going away. And you can just imagine those disciples. I mean, just stop and think for a moment. Being in the presence of God. And it didn't matter who was angry with you. If you were with Jesus, you were safe. That had to be the safest feeling that anybody on this earth has ever had. To be in the presence, being with Jesus. When they saw him heal all manner of disease, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, that had to be tremendous comfort to be in the presence of Jesus. And then he says, I'm going away. I think they probably felt like, the rug had been pulled out from under them. Wow. What do you mean? We want to go with you, I'm sure they said. Not sure if that's recorded just that way, but I'm sure they thought, Lord, we want to go with you. We like it the way we like being with you for a multitude of reasons, some of which they had to have some more lessons to learn without his bodily presence. But if they would have just listened, he told them, I'll not leave you comfortless. And that word comfortless there has reference to he's not going to leave them like orphans without anybody to take care of them. Think about an orphan that doesn't have anybody to provide for him, that's left to fend for himself. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way. And he went on to say, I will come to you. And he has reference to the Holy Spirit to come alongside and render aid. Have you ever felt the presence of the Lord come and help you and be with you? Oh, what a blessing that is. So Jesus said, now, you know, when President Trump was in office, I heard a lot of folks quoting that verse about no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Well, the Lord knows the whole story. We just know what we're interested in. But we know he's still on his throne. He's still doing what's right. It's not for us to decide, will the Lord directly do this or that? We can say, I've said all along, he allowed these things to happen. I have to wonder if it's not for us to be reminded that we need him. First and foremost, and all day long, we need the Lord. Not putting our trust in anything else or anyone else. We need the Lord, and we need him as desperately tonight as we ever have, as far as a nation is concerned. But God's people, we need him every day. We need his help. We need his mercy. We need his love. We need to feel his presence in our lives every day. We need him so much. And he has promised that he would take care of us. He has promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised that he would not leave us comfortless. I know that that was primarily a promise to the apostles. But I think it flows to us too. It's a blessing to us tonight that he will come. And so Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So the more of this that we look at, the more balanced we can come to our understanding of what he means by his protection and his care. Yes, we're going to have tribulation. That's just going to be part of life. But in all of it, we can still trust him. We can still look to him for all our needs. In Matthew chapter 6, he speaks of how that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Right? Sufficient, in other words, we got enough trouble. We got enough challenges. We have enough to look at and keep our focus each day without worrying about tomorrow. That's a hard lesson to learn sometimes, isn't it? It's an easy lesson to forget. And so we need to remember, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then also, with reference to that trouble that we face, not only do we have those natural things like tribulations that come against us in a natural way, we also have this spiritual warfare that we have to face each day. All right? Remember in the lesson on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read a little bit of that. I might could quote it, but I just want to turn to it. when Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is what we need. Not leaning to our own understanding, not trusting in our own strength, but trusting in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. I'm not going to go into all that armor tonight, but you know the lesson. The armor, the truth, and the righteousness, and the helmet of salvation, all those things that he's given us. All right? Put on the whole armor of God, and he tells us why. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That adversary that we have, that Peter says is like a roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Wow. Sometimes I think we lose sight that he's really on the prowl all the time. Sometimes I wonder if we're so busy that we lose sight of that truth. Okay? So he's given us the armor that we may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the devices, if you will, of Satan. He's a liar. John chapter 8, Jesus told her, he's a liar. All right? So it behooves us to know truth. This is truth. This is pure truth. And the more of this we can treasure up, the easier it is for us to spot a lie. And Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, sometimes we are. Sometimes we're not thinking. Sometimes we're not paying attention. And so the more we're in this word, the more aware we are of this truth. All right? So, but it says, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I quoted 1 Peter 5 and 8, where your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. If you've heard me very much, you know that I like to couple that with 1 Chronicles 16 and 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, which says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward thee. That was actually part of the rebuke to Asa for not trusting in the Lord. But he said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward me. I don't know how many times I've gotten a lot of comfort out of that verse. That the Lord's there for us. We just need to trust in him. That our heart, those whose heart is perfect toward him. If we're looking to him, say, Lord, I need you. I need help. You know, it's not a sign of weakness for us to admit that. It's wisdom. We need the help of the Lord. Now, how about 1 Corinthians 10, 13? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I think I can quote that. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Trusting God. And I'm saying trusting. Not just waiting to see if he's going to be faithful. God is faithful. And this verse tells us that too. All right? Paul said to the church of Corinth, for there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. In other words, none of us are the Lone Ranger. This happens to all of us. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now that's the word of God. That's his promise. Problem is, we don't always look for that way to escape. We're so prone to try to figure it out ourselves. We're so prone to try to make our own solutions to things. But he says, we're all in this. You know, I've grown to not like that expression. I'm hearing it so much in so many ways these days. But God's people, this is common to God's people. No temptation is taken you but such as is common to man. Now, sometimes temptations are trials, trying. And he says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We may feel like we're the Lone Ranger. We may feel like that this doesn't ever happen to anybody else, but I assure you it has. In principle, it has. People are not all that different than they've always been, right? Nothing new under the sun, okay? They didn't have automobiles and rocket ships and all that back then when that was written, but the principles of human behavior and interaction are the same as they've always been. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, that just gives me so much comfort. Just to be reminded of God's faithfulness. That means I can rely upon him. I can't rely on myself, but I can rely on God. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. Wow. I've heard people question this and explain this in different ways, but I don't know. It seems pretty clear to me. He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. When we face temptation, this kind of testing, we can rest assured God knows. He's aware of it. And if it's come our way, he's allowed it. But this verse tells us he'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. Now, like I said, sometimes God's people are not looking for God's answer. Maybe they're impatient and they do something that was unnecessary. We have examples of that in the Bible, don't we? But for those whose heart is perfect toward him, those that are holding on and say, Lord, I need your wisdom, I need your help, I need your guidance. He's worthy of our trust to lead us. And whatever however he chooses to make a way for us. It's up to him, isn't it? Oh, that's so hard, isn't it? That's so hard to turn loose of that. But we have this promise. He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. And I submit to you that the children of Israel, the three Hebrew children who were cast into the fiery furnace, God made a way for them to escape. He didn't choose to keep them out of the furnace, but he did keep them in it, and he delivered them from it. Isn't that amazing? And I have to believe that at least one reason why that Old Testament lesson is there is to show us God is able. We're not. And how much will we trust him for the answer? He's faithful. He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which we're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. And like I said, the three Hebrew children escaped the fiery furnace, but it meant they had to go through it. Into it, and God brought them out of it. And boy, did he bring them out of it. I love that story, don't you? I mean, no, not even the smell of smoke, no singed hair, no effect. The trial had no impact on them except trust. I'm sure they talked about this a little bit the rest of their lives. And God chose to do it at a time when all the nations of the kingdom were there. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of folks that went home and said, "You're not going to believe what I saw over there." And every time it was told, God got glory. God got the glory. Because the words, I just believe, providentially, those words were spoken by Nebuchadnezzar. Did we not cast in three? Well, first of all, let's go back a little bit. When Nebuchadnezzar was enraged at those three that would not bow down. Now, that took courage, didn't it? That took a lot of trust. They wouldn't bow down. Even though the king said, well, maybe they didn't hear the instructions. Let's give them another chance. And they still wouldn't bow down because they heard him first time. And then Nebuchadnezzar was enraged. And he said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Well, he was about to see that God. Because he said, did we not cast in three? Lo, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. How did he know that? Because God showed it to him. He got some revelation right then. God showed it to him. And so they brought him out. I mean, and this is even after, I mean, this thing was, what was it, seven times hotter than it was wont to be heated? And the very ones that cast them in were consumed by the flame. It was hot. It was plenty hot enough. But God delivered them through it. He chose not to deliver them from it, but through it. Now, there have been plenty of times we have record in the scriptures where God delivered them from something. You know, in Jehoshaphat's day, the enemy came and Jehoshaphat feared. But he set his heart, seek the Lord. And he said, Lord, the enemy cometh and we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I love that. Because that's our instruction. That's where we need to be. And they didn't even have to fight. And it took them days to gather up the spoils. God fought their battle for them. It's how God chose to deliver them on that occasion. He delivered Gideon in a mighty way, didn't he? He delivered David in many battles, especially against Goliath. And David was trusting in the Lord. He wasn't coming against Goliath in his own might, but in the name of the living God. You see, God is faithful, who shall not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. So the lesson is just hold on to the Lord. Keep looking to him, trusting him. He's promised there's a way. He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which we're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. Now, I don't know that that necessarily means that you're going to get the outcome. I know it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the outcome you're hoping for. But God is faithful. And if he provides the answer, then it's the best one available. No questions asked. God's will is always perfect, and it's the best. He loves us, and he can take care of us better than anybody. So we have this promise. We have these assurances from the Scripture, from a God that cannot lie, a God who knows all, sees all. You can't acquaint him with anything. And so sometimes we have natural situations and family and personal problems that we have to deal with. Sometimes it's a spiritual problem. Sometimes it's a spiritual warfare. But regardless of the nature of the trial, God is faithful, and he will help us in whatever we need. So we learn from scriptures that we walk by faith, not by sight. We'd rather walk by sight, wouldn't we? I'd rather have all the answers first. I'm one of those analytical. I like to figure things out, and, you know, sometimes I guess I've been guilty of analysis paralysis, but I like to know what I'm getting into. Nothing wrong with that. But we walk by faith, not by sight, trusting a faithful God who loves us, who's able to take care of us, and is there for us. So, like David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't that comforting? That whole psalm is comforting. But that thought, not that David didn't say, though I face the valley of death, but he said, though I walk through it. I have to believe that he's talking about trusting God as he went. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that bears some thought, doesn't it? Some examination. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. But then Jesus said, pray for it. Pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us. I think it's mainly a matter of having it in the forefront of our mind that's where our trust is. It's in the Lord. Evil abounds. We don't know what may happen to us tomorrow, tonight, next day. We don't know. But God does. I can trust the Lord. I can trust him to be there for us. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Wonderful psalm of trust in the Lord. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for means. I'm thankful for a lot of things. But our help is in the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Isn't that wonderful? Let's just rejoice for just a second in the fact that God has given us his Spirit and we can call upon him. And for Jesus' sake, he hears us. And if we ask according to his will, John says, he heareth us. Wow. Now, isn't that so much better than what we have to go through in this life? You try to get in touch with folks sometimes, and they won't answer the phone, or they're not in, or voicemail, or give you the runaround. You know, all those things so many times we've turned to for help. But our help is in the Lord. Perhaps if some of those tasks that we had to perform were started out by us praying to the Lord, Lord, I need your help. I'm about to do something that it might be difficult, but it's not hard for you. You know what I need. Would you help me? It might have gone a little bit better if we had started out that way, because our help is in the Lord. And he doesn't sleep or slumber. Wow. He's always there. He doesn't need sleep. We do. He doesn't. And I guess the biggest comfort to me about that is if you ever have a restless night and can't sleep, talk to him. I believe you'd enjoy it. Some of the sweetest conversations I've had, not that I've ever heard his audible sound, but some of the best visits I've ever had with the Lord was right there. I didn't speak an audible word, but in spirit, you talk to the Lord, commune with him in spirit. You know, if you ever have a restless night and can't sleep, that's the best medicine I can think of. Visit with the Lord. He's there. He's not asleep. You're not going to keep him awake. He never sleeps. Okay. I know a few folks that struggle with sleep. I might need to share that with. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We have help from the Lord. That does not mean we won't have tribulation, because Jesus said we would. But it means in whatever we're facing, we have help in the Lord. And we can rest in that. We can be confident of that. And if nothing, and I know that calamities have happened to good people. I know that tragedies have happened to good people. But I also know that if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if Jesus died for our sins, and whatever men may do unto us, if they snuff out our life, then we can immediately awake in his presence to be with him forevermore. I tell you, that's a comfort that we can carry with us through whatever fear we might have, through whatever struggle we might have. We could remember we're safe in the blood of Jesus. Heaven is our home. And if it's God's will, he is able to change our circumstances. Sometimes, and I need to close this up, but sometimes it's not a change of circumstances that's needed. Sometimes it's a change in us that's needed. Maybe we're not looking at something in the right way. Maybe we need to be a little more patient. Maybe we need to be a little more kind. Maybe something about us needs to change or mature. That was the case with Peter, wasn't it? You know, Peter had to learn a lot. He went out and wept bitterly. Of course, there was a lot involved there when he denied the Lord. He tried to do what he could to defend the Lord. I believe he was absolutely sincere in his efforts to want to defend Jesus. But he was trying to do something that wasn't his place to do. Jesus had to go through that alone. He didn't need Peter's help at that moment. Jesus said he could have called 12 legions of angels. But how shall the scripture be fulfilled? There were things about to take place that had already been prophesied. Those things had to be. And so Jesus told Peter, put up thy sword. Well, he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And eventually, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, Jesus turned and looked at him. He went out and wept bitterly. But Jesus had already told him earlier, when thou art converted, said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. I can just imagine that wheat being tossed into the air, the wind blowing the chaff away, sifting, sifting. Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We all have things we need to learn. We all have ways in which we need to grow. But God is faithful. He'll be there for us. He'll help us in whatever we need. And so, if God be for us, and we find that in Romans 8:31, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's a lot of comfort in the Word of God, isn't there? I encourage you to read it more. You know, that what somebody, I remember Elder Gene Thomas, he was telling me his favorite, one of his favorite lessons that Brother Sonny used to tell is somebody would ask, well, how do you go about studying the Bible? And Brother Sonny's answer was just one word, more. More. So we'd all do well to follow that lesson, studying more. There's plenty of comfort to be found in the Word of God because He's all powerful. He loves us. He sent His Son to die in our room instead that we might live with Him in glory forever with all the redeemed family of God without the loss of one. And I know heaven can't be any sweeter, but every time one of our loved ones leaves and goes home to be with the Lord, then our understanding of how sweet heaven can be gets a little sweeter. May God bless you, is our prayer.